Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network. We're talking with Dr. Frank Tamburi, a regular Trump report that we do every Thursday since the summer of 15. And we get into all kinds of issues and corruption, election fraud, foreign policy, economics, technology, so many things. And it's an enjoyable segment for me to do every week, but you know, we're on a different plane. I've been involved as an activist and a candidate and libertarian in politics in Arizona for a long time, long enough to know better. This is going to change only when the people just have the general public opinion of it's broke. And it's not only broke, it's fixed. I mean, it's fixed. What are we going to do about it? Well, if you want to get more of the conversations that I have with Frank in their entirety and a lot of other shows, go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedom with an S, phoenix.com, and you go to the top right and you'll see the show link there. Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Many shows to select from. Going ahead and having the rest of the conversation as much as I can fit in this hour with Dr. Frank, I'm sure you'll find it entertaining and joy. Brace yourselves. PSYOP incoming. You know, winter is coming. PSYOP incoming is like a winter is coming meme here. The next couple of weeks, dozens of high-profile celebrities will suddenly have COVID. Okay? I just want to get that in. All right? So I just want to get that in.
Prediction.
You're going to have, I mean, it's a, you know, they're all going to get vaxxed up again. They've already bought the vax. The government has already given the pharma the money. They already got the contract. Already. And it's going to be tuned in with a bunch of other, you know, here it comes. Okay? What kind of mandates are there going to be? What kind of masks are there going to be, you know, required of the school children? What kind of universities? You know, what companies are going to, what, and they're going to go again. And because they don't have any creativity to do another other than just making a bunch of dead bodies, which they're perfectly willing to do, you know. But you know, can they? If they can, you know, they're going to. FYI, I just want. Well, there are so many things that we can go on about, but it's been really the lies of and we started the show with Frank. Off air, he's not feeling well today, but you'd never know, because I knew once he gets going, he's done. You know, he got the inoculation of the show.
Only for you, Ernie. Only
and,
for you.
Yeah, because that'll get him going. He'll fall into a, you know, blob heap after the show. But the what you are hopefully getting from the show that we do, the Trump Report, is that this was all planned. And we archived the descent to where we are now. And it was planned a long time ago. And it was orchestrated by they, them, those that won't leave us alone. And you can get into the detail. But then you spend a lot of time on who did it and how. Don't care. we are to blame. We are the ones that allowed it to happen. So I'm going, okay, who's responsible for me acting stupid? Well, they tricked me. Okay, you know they tricked you, right? Okay, well, then stop being tricked. You know, do something else. Do it differently. Don't be stupid. Yeah, but they're tricking me again. Well, you know it, right? Well, then don't be stupid. It's not that I don't have empathy, but I only have so much energy and time to be able to take care of myself, my family, the supporters, be of an ad to a community that knows what's coming and what to do and doing it. And for me to spend an enormous amount of time trying to go to someone that's not going to get, you know, red-pilled, they can't. They're not able to be. They're followers. They're too deep into the matrix. They committed too much. Their livelihood depends on compliance. Peace. You know, all I can ask is for you to at least understand why I'm so convinced. You know, understand that I'm not compliant. Understand. You can't understand? Really? You can't understand? Well, then you got other issues too deep for me to save, go into, care about. Because I can't. Because it's a waste of time. You know who these people are. They just comply or to comply. You know, the ascension to the top most valued trait that these people have is compliance. I complied. I complied first. I preemptively complied. I complied before it was a mandate. I'm a complier. Look at the flags I got on. You know, they're not doing Hawaiian flags, but they'll do a Ukraine flag. You know, they won't, grow any food, but they'll wear a mask all day, every day, and put it on their kids. You know, out playing soccer in Arizona heat. And it's just too stupid. How do we have this collection of Americans that share the same experiences? I am of the age in the 70s, late 70s, when they started the miniseries Roots, which is about the slave trade. Kuta Kinte gets captured. He was going to get material for a drum in Africa, and all of a sudden he winds up on some plantation. And it goes from there. And, you know, Chicken George, one of his, you know, ancestors. You know, I mean, I remember all that. The entire school, everybody, black, white, whatever, you know, all the family are glued in front of their television for tens of millions, 60, 70, 80 million people, you know, episode one, watch that whole miniseries. And issue of, you know, talked about of really, okay, now we know that. Yay. You know, got it. We're done. We're good. Alex Haley, I think the guy's name was. He was an ancestor. So I'm going, all right. They don't have that anymore. What was the closest that they got? World Cup, Super Bowl, you know, some, you know, Trump on Tucker. I mean, on Twitter, on my nerves. I mean, this is to get the eyeballs and the ears of the people. They have to segment you down. They have to get something that you're interested in. They have to find you the trolls, the PSYOP, the White House. Hell, Obama's White House had, you know, their army. They did through the campaign, moved in to the administration, and the AG was in charge of it. It's not a secret. You know, they have weaponized everything. Everything. All science, all studies, all medicines, all the FDA approval of, the CDC, yep, and the WHO suggestion. That's one thing. We had a court case just came out. What did it say? You know, hey, you can't say ivermectin can't be used. You know, the FDA doesn't have the authority to prevent or go after doctors or whatever. You know, you're to advise and inform and whatever, and that's it. You know? So this is, and so who do you go to for this information? The government? They're going to tell you what's up. You know, they got your best interest. They just want to, you know, help their buddies sell. They go, the head of the FDA just flip-flops with CDC and pharma. God, I mean, oh my God. If you don't know by now, I want to understand. I don't even want to understand. I don't care. You know, if you don't get it by now, then I break with thee, throw dog poop on your shoes. I don't care. If we worry about, or we get somebody, we have a story up. Oh, Jennifer Lawrence got red-pilled. she's speaking. She comes up, they introduce her. She's speaking to some freshman, sophomore, high school age, and she goes, "We got a problem in this country. It's corruption. Corrupt. She's red pilled. She said that U.S. government is corrupt." I'm like, "Wow, and we're saved." Jennifer Lawrence.
Man, you must have passed out here in that one, Ernie. Yeah,
the sequels of Hunger Games, and she couldn't see the parallel of what the heck was going on. Now they're coming out with the fifth one, because part three was in two parts. They have four. Now I got a fifth one, The Rise of Snow or some crap. I'm just like, wow. And they go, "Well, it always going to take that one thing." What one thing? Oh, somebody won't go to the back of the bus for their seat. Laura Parks won't do that. And all of a sudden, you got a thing. There's always going to be a thing. We've had so many of those things that, and what changed? Not a thing. They still look into the authority of the WHO, World Health Organization, the UN, is going to determine what some city, town, freaking podunk in the middle of nothing is going to do because the WHO said. Our government and our media and our institutions are so separated from reality and the interest and the understanding of the people that, of course, they're abandoning all. Of course, they don't care. And the people that care are, I don't know, just answering the other guys
that are
trolls and robots saying, uh-huh. So then you get people wasting their time trying to convince some bot, All they got to do is say, and you're wasting your time. You'll spend millions of man hours on which could be devoted to productive pursuits like, is a food thing, to sit there trying to convince some robot AI chat GPT, girlfriend of freaking Frank, that, all they got to do is say, and wasting freaking millions of hours of time just by somebody saying,
Trump's at 52%. Trump's at 52%. Trump's at 52%.
You see my point?
You see my point? That's the thing.
But all they gotta do is say, and you keep saying it.
No, but your mantra is, I just don't care, and you're having a conniption over your frustration.
Uh-huh.
My answer to you for everything now is Trump's at 52%.
Uh-huh.
And by next week, Trump's at 53%.
And
the reason
is,
it's not about Trump. Wait, it's not about Trump, the savior. The fact that my answer to everything at this point, this entire discussion, is Trump's at 52%. And then the reason that's so significant is it's because they've thrown everything at this guy for 6 to 8 years, wherever the hell he's been at this point, nonstop with indictments, and they want to put him in prison, and he's this, and he's that, everything. And he's at 52%. That's all you need to know as far as how many people, whether it's red-pilled or whatever you want to call it, but the entire narrative machine is falling apart.
Yeah, blah, blah,
just
blah.
Looking at that number, I mean, back in the
all
day.
All I got to do to get you distracted is this. Here you go. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, that's all they're doing. It's just the trolls and bots we saw in 08. They just go, They would come in on the Freedoms Phoenix Freedom Forum, and they'd just sit there, and you could tell who they were. I mean, they'd come in, I was, oh, my God. So, I don't care. All right, I want to get this in.
I want to get this in.
All right, H.G. Wells, Wells's Predictive Programming Revolution, UFOs, Drugs, and the Great Reset. Okay, so this is, they've been going on, this is another example, this has been going on a while. Of course, the world has been awash in UFO-themed narratives within pop culture since the earliest days of the Cold War. Even Lawrence Rockefeller himself, fourth grandson of John D. Rockefeller, got into the game in 1992 by creating the Disclosure Project and bankrolling a bodybuilding military physician named Stephen Greer while recruiting the Clintons and John Podesta into the cause of UFO truth. See, that was one thing Clinton was proud of. We're gonna find out UFOs are real. They're gonna lick me. But it is only in the past few years that official congressional, Pentagon, and NASA investigations into off-world vehicles not made on this Earth, Area 51, Roswell crashes, and crop circles, have become part of the official mainstream discourse of the nation.
The Pentagon, not known for any love of transparency, have been failed literally six audits since 2001 and losing over $21 trillion, according to some estimates, has deemed it fitting to admit publicly that off-world vehicles not made on this earth have been in the possession of government agencies for decades. This has been a thing since we've got Rockefeller, Clinton's. All they, you know, they keep the flame alive, keep it alive until they need it, and here it comes. Okay, so I'm just going. This is so they wouldn't do that. That would be wrong. Well, of course they're going to do it. Why? Former intelligence officials like David Krush and Commander David Faber have been hailed as courageous whistleblowers for admitting that the U.S. military has been talking to aliens since an interstellar ship traveling faster than the speed of light crashed into a desert in Roswell in 1947. According to Krush and Company, these alien beings are such bad pilots that numerous crashes have occurred over the past 70 years, resulting in dozens of crashes and clashes with U.S. fighter pilots. And when Representative you know, it's just, you know, I believe shiny objects, literally, shiny UFO objects, and you know, look at me, you know, and it comes down to this. I've been, you know, asked this stuff, what do I think about this all the time. I'm going, look, when the Phoenix Lights happened in the late 90s, I was like, Vulcans or Klingons? And I went, what? And I go, I don't know. They're Klingons and say, you know, we're here to take your crap. You'll own nothing and be happy or not happy. We don't care. You know, you'll own nothing. We're going to take it all. And I go, yeah, get in line with all the other guys. You know, I'm just like, yeah, and the difference? You know, so what? I can tell you apart. You know, at least you know, you're not wearing a human mask or something. I, you know, don't care. Or Vulcans. Live free and prosper. You know, long life and prosper. You know, tell us where your store is. You know, what can we do in exchange? We might, you know, kind of slowly let you have some tech because you kind of are crazy. You know, something like that. All right, fine, cool. Probably turn out bad anyway. But, you know, what difference is it going to make? They're either going to rule us or they're going to influence us like they're doing with it. So, same thing. And who are they going to deal with? Are they going to deal with individuals? Or are they going to deal with institutions? And if they're going to deal with institutions, hey, you don't have all your countries under one world government. You got to get all, you think you got it going good now? Ooh, just wait till you get a United Nations of a Federation of Interplanetary of whatever treaty we get to sign like we did, you did with Iraq and how, you know, after you did the, was it Balfour? I don't remember. When they did the Middle East after World War One, that's what Lawrence of Arabia is all about. They wanted to get all these separated tribes, all these nomadic, you know, tribes, you know, on the Arabian Peninsula to kind of, all right, you can be sheikh of this and this and this and this, and we signed, and that's how our oil got underneath your sand. They could do the same kind of thing with Earth. They got to have somebody to sign it with. What about Fred out in the middle of Kansas, got his own farm? You know, he's like, no, I'm signing with you. They, oh, yeah, you are. Because your government said so. Centralization is what's going to kill us. It's decentralization. And I don't give a crap who comes in their whatever shiny freaking UFO. Because if we had the mindset, no, you know, take me to your leader. You're talking to him. You know, this is, you know, I rule what's underneath this here hat. Nobody represents me. Take me to your leader, and you walk into your double wide and introduce him to the wife. I mean, you know, there's my leader. You know, I mean, you know, come on. It's that mindset. That's what was the threat to these guys, was that mindset of individualism and a meritocracy that America represented. That is the threat. That. So if you have a mindset, I will feed myself. I will water myself. I will be a positive add to my community. I will educate my children. Me. Well, what about society? You know, I'm going, that is the best way to have the best society, is people take care of themselves and voluntarily, because they see it's in their own self-interest to be an add to their community and be a safety net for their friends and family and neighbors and communities they live in. That is what's being eroded. That is what's being stripped. That is what's not freaking allowed. And it's so obvious. And the only way that I can inject into that and keep it simple is it's going to be a food thing. And all of that is going to be supported by that. A food thing. People take care of their own sustenance. Keep breathing in and out longer than the bad guys. And the bad guys are going to, they're always the solution, always, 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 is collectivism. It's always an army. It's always an institution. It's always some guy in a clipboard representing, you know, whatever you got to do. Make them make you, make them say it. So this is going to be so obvious that when this comes down, it's already starting. And it's not about freaking Obama drug dealing gay lover crap. Don't care. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. What really matters is us taking responsibility for ourselves, our friends, family, next generation, generation next. And that's why I love and promote stuff like, you know, new tech. You know, new bat. There's this, you know, free energy engine thing. Everybody's going on magnet, whatever the heck. I mean, doesn't matter. Sooner or later, people are just going to start doing it. It was what they're promoting, putting the plans out. Here, just do it. We did it. Here it is. Do it. Do it. We're not asking for money. Not just, here's a full thing of us machining to make it. God, do it. All right? Is it going to be done? Maybe. Maybe not. Don't care. But Frank and I having these conversations, and what gets me worked up is that we're so worried about what they want us to be worried about. Stuff that, oh, look, this matters. No, is it about growing food? Then I don't care. Is it about building shelter? Then it doesn't matter. Is it about being able to travel? Doesn't matter. Because what are they doing? 15-minute cities. They're going to be putting in regionals. You got to pay. You know, different places throughout Europe. Cities, you got to, you know, anybody that comes in, one, they have to know anybody that comes in that's not a resident, $5. Access to the city, $5. $10. When they can't get gas taxes out of you on your car, all of a sudden, it's going to be a significant enough for men. Or does hybrids count? You know, what's the gas? Now they need to be able to track your mileage so that they can charge you for the money that they're losing from not getting gas taxes. So they're going to have to surveil you. You know, these are the things that we should be concerned about. And are we? No. Oh, we got to do this one other story to tell you that, you know, all the stuff that's happening to us, the government and big tech media lies to you. Just FYI, I just want to tell you. Oh, really? Okay, well, I'm enlightened now. Then what? All right. So you want to enlighten us we're lied to again?
Well, I guess I would go back to the old kind of a Buddhist saying of you'll never have the solution until you first define the problem.
It matters not. He is your king.
Confess, and you may receive a quick death.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Lawyers for Donald Trump are moving for the judge in the former president's federal election case to recuse herself. In a Monday court filing, Trump's attorneys said they're unsure U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan can remain fair and impartial. They worry if her past harsh statements about Trump's ties to the January 6th Capitol riots. She's also been harsher at sentencing time for ground-level Capitol riot convicts. She alone will make the decision whether to recuse herself or not. President Biden took time later in the day and thousands of miles away from Ground Zero to remember those thousands lost in the 9/11 terror attacks. Biden spoke Monday to military service members at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage Monday afternoon.
It's more important than ever that we come together around the principle of American democracy, regardless of our political backgrounds.
Nearly 3,000 Americans died on September 11, 2001. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. Thanks for tuning in to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, this evening. I'm going to try and get the last of the most pertinent information with our conversation with Dr. Frank Tamburi on the Trump Report. Well, you can go ahead and get the full episode on freedomsphoenix.com. On the top right, you'll see the icon for Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and we have a bunch of shows there. There's a large selection. We do a lot of shows, and I select the ones that I think that we can fit in and you can enjoy here on the network. And I encourage you to go check out freedomsphoenix.com. That's, you want to know what's going on. There it is. And then hopefully you'll come to the conclusion that you are going to have to do something to take care of you and your family, and your community. That's the only thing that I offer, is the truth. I'm covering the secrets and exposing the lies. And Dr. Frank is really good at helping me do that. Whether we agree or not, we still get that. Now, for the final
segment of the show this evening. Enjoy.
Both Americans didn't think, they didn't think we had a problem, at least not what many of us have been warning about deeply. I mean, the deep issues are, you know, the Federal Reserve and what they did, the Bretton Woods Agreement, and we can talk about the petrodollar. I mean, you know, like for you, those of you new to the show, no, those are the real fundamental issues that are driving so much of this, the military industrial complex. We could go on and on. But you know, just so you know, Ernie, the Jira, Barack Obama might be bisexual. I'm not sure if we covered that on the show today. But these kind of issues do wind up breaking that narrative.
Not if his husband's a Mike.
I mean, look.
He's not bisexual then.
I mean, look, the system is still telling people still on the reservation that the economy's fine. I mean, they're literally saying that the economy currently is good. It's like the emperor's new clothes. We're at that point where the emperor, Biden, and everyone, the entire establishment, including neocons, remember, it's both parties. I mean, this isn't just a Biden thing, right? It's much larger. But it's been like the emperor wears no clothes. We have been the crazy people who can see, mama, the guy's naked, and everyone's saying, oh, no, it's not. You know, don't trust your lying eyes. And it's getting to the point where the average people are starting to laugh and they're chuckling and seeing this. That's why that the Tucker thing was important. And if you start to question, you know, what the media told you about Barack Obama, whether or not, you know, what happens in the next election or not, then you start questioning, wait a minute, the media is telling me the economy is fine. All I know is gas is $5. Now it's $6. And I said, well, how can it be fine? Oh, that's right. They might actually lie to me. So at that point, all that turns into maybe, you know, preparing for an economic downturn or worse, you know, of getting food and other things. I mean, clearly it's an advantage to us. The earlier you are to the party, you're able to get this stuff earlier. I mean, survival food alone has like doubled since I have bought it. Same thing with commodities, all sorts of things. So in many ways, we're ahead of the curve. And you could also argue, you know, being more protective as well. You know, so many of us are sitting back, not buying a home in the last year or so, being fooled by the interest rate being low. You know, where some of us are waiting for the system to implode and then be able to get homes cheap. I mean, that's a strategy, but you're thinking with the knowledge of what's happening, not just going through life and your friend at the coffee shop, whatever, says, oh, your interest rates are really good. It's a good time to buy a house. And then CNN saying the economies can't get any better as long as Trump's not around. You know, this sort of thing. So anyway, it's a big deal. I'm going to rattle just a couple of quickie things. We'll kind of wind it down, I guess. Some things I texted you about. First is Oppenheimer. I got to see Oppenheimer finally. I wanted to see it on the IMAX, which didn't make a big deal. But anyway, great movie, blah, blah, blah. But I found it fascinating, the discussions that they were having amongst themselves about what the bomb would create, you know, what the Pandora's box they were opening up, and the fire of Prometheus and such, a lot of references. But I was listening to their conversations, and I wish Nolan, the director, spent more time on this, of course, but they touched on it that, you know, they were so, it's like Jeff Goldblum, they're so quick to ask if they could, you know, split the atom over this and make a bomb. They didn't stop to ask if they should, right? And they try to have Oppenheimer have like a redeemer arc, you know, afterwards, you know, contemplating it, blah, blah, blah. But the conversation that they had about what they were doing, and they had a freight train that they couldn't stop, that they were in charge of. And then once they had the bomb, then the military came and said, thank you, you know, have a nice day. And they literally just took it from them and just walked off with it. That is kind of the same discussion I feel is happening now with AI. You know, the people that at the apex of this technology are the same ones, including Elon Musk. These are the ones that are calling for a moratorium. And everybody else, the average person, or, you know, they don't see the need for it. They're just wondering, how can I pass
it? No, it's always fear. Because if we don't, they are. They'll have it and we won't.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it because we got to do it.
So it had a lot of overtones of the exact same problem, that it's going to change the world of everything. And that's what the bomb did in a way. I mean, it really changed geopolitics. It changed much. I mean, just the conceptualization that human beings could destroy themselves, and that, you know, do you want you want that technology in someone else's hands that all of a sudden you think is the enemy. Well, how do you handle that? And that has led to much of what we have today. America becoming the bully of the world, starting off with, well, we have the bomb and we've proven we want to take over the world. So, like Hitler did. So at least we have the bomb and we're the overall good guys. So the world turned around and gave us a pat on the back and thanked us and showed a vote of confidence by doing the IMF and making the dollar the world currency and all that international standard. And then we abused that. And then we used that, probably printing money up to create our military around the world. So we didn't conquer the world. We just have an empire. We have bases around the world. So it's kind of the same thing. So anyway, everything changed, and now we're having countries like North Korea and others having the technology as the prices come down. More countries can do it. Well, at some point, a little Zimbabwe is going to have a nuclear bomb. So how do we handle that? Is the solution being unified as one culture so we don't look at each other as enemies? I'm not calling for globalism per se, but this is the discussion and debate. And you throw aliens into the mix, and that's a whole other thing. And then lastly, there was I did comment to you. It's just kind of a big picture about the controls in our world today, and people getting red-pilled in different ways, or some people not being red-pilled. And that is the cooking of the frog. You do it slowly. People don't notice. You do it too quick. You jump out. So my daughter at her school, they had a little class event to go to the ballpark to see the Diamondbacks. I never go to sports. It's kind of not my thing, although I did like sumo wrestling when I lived in Japan, but I digress. But we wound up deciding, hey, let's take her to a ball game. She has never been in a stadium. My daughter has never seen so many people at once, especially being a quarantine kid. So I thought it would be good something to do. So we wound up going, and to keep it quick, I couldn't fathom the changes since the last time I was there. It's almost like if your grandparents, whoever, if you're listening, imagine one of your grandparents who's been maybe dead for a long time, and they come back today and decide to take an airplane ride. Just think how different it would be. The fact you can't smoke on an airplane, you get arrested if you just plot a cigarette, whether you have to wear masks back in the day, the rectal exam through the TSA, the dogs. Just everything that goes on that we take for, well, libertarians don't take for granted, but how many young people today think this is normal? Well, that was the culture shock that I had going to this game. And even my wife, who doesn't get as uptight about this stuff as I do, it was so frustrating. We were kind of having a debate with the security guard. He was nice afterwards. And we just said we were never coming back to a game at all. The whole time we were just angry. Every component between the security checks, the changes of what kind of handbag you can have. My wife actually got a smaller handbag because the last time that we went to an event, they said, oh, it's not small enough. You don't have a little clutch purse or whatever. So she bought something that was supposed to meet that criteria. We get to the event, and they said that was too big, that they changed the rules last year because of the Super Bowl or something. So now it's even smaller. So they changed it again. And then, of course, you have to buy a locker. You got to rent a locker, which is $10 to save this thing. And then you have to set up an account. And you have to, give their email and do this whole account in order to get a digital locker. And that's just stage one. It's the entire game, you're just surrounded with this. With the security measures. And the last part I'll say about the game was, I could go all day about, I wasn't paying attention to the game.
All the advertisements on the wall, everywhere's advertising.
Yeah, no, exactly, advertising. But I didn't, like the one security guy told me afterwards, we're having a debate. He said, well, don't you, this is so you feel safe. The last thing you were telling me, I said, this is not safe, this is oppression. That's all I saw and I felt was oppression. And the last example was when we were kind of close to the field, and a lot of the kids, as part of the school, a lot of kids brought their mitts and they would run to the edge of the down to the bleachers, in case a ball was going to be hit in their direction to catch a ball. Well, apparently that's now all illegal. You have to be in your seat. You're not allowed to even be at the front there. So they kept, when the security kept chasing these little kids who are the future. I mean, young kids today are not getting into sports the way that they used to. It's America's game, supposedly. And now they're getting chased by police or security, you know, constantly yelled at for trying to be part of this game. And furthermore, there was security. I couldn't believe the security. I'm telling you, I've never seen some security. And this wasn't a Super Bowl. This is just some regular, you know, Tuesday night game. And everywhere, including the field, they were constant security guys. They looked like Secret Service. I mean, they were dressed kind of, you know, they weren't overtly security. You could tell they were. They all had the little coiled earpieces in them. There were all these big buff guys. They're standing there with their hands locked in front of them with their shades. And I mean, you think the president was going to show up or something. And it was all around the field. And they're standing there staring at the bleachers the entire time. They move around a little bit, but I couldn't even watch the game. All I saw were these security guys with shades and earpieces staring at us, you know, without smiles the entire game. I'm thinking, what is this? Was there a threat thrown against the game and they're looking for somebody? I mean, maybe there was a specific threat, but the impression I got is this is a typical game now. And there was more examples, but that was just one night. And I just went, wow. I it's been so long since going to a game. You know, it's like when I gave up my old 1985 car and got my brand new car that I got recently, because I love my other car, and the other car had no electronics in it, really, you know. And now the new cars, it's like the space shuttle with all these gadgets, and it's a bit overwhelming, going the you know, disparity of it. And that is what I took away from it. But people still going to the games, to them, I guess it's been they just don't care. It doesn't affect them. They're young and they think this is normal. So I don't know. Maybe it's a libertarian thing too. You know, when a lot of us in this audience, we're not really in the sports. I'm sure some of you are, but most of us really aren't. You know, our sport is called life, as we're watching the games that our so-called leaders are doing. That to me is more interesting than some stupid game where, you know, people just go wherever there's a paycheck. But the people who still go, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's a difference in how they see things. They have no problem with that level of security. So anyway, it just shows you how far can we go with that level of what I find oppression until people say enough. So I think we're at that point. The worm has turned. That's kind of the theme from today, along with the fact that Barack Obama might be bisexual. Just want to point that out.
And I don't care.
Hey, Ernie, before we go, this just came over the wire right now. It's
vote hard.
On your favorite topic, your favorite topic, Arizona voter integrity. So regarding Carrie Lake, let me just play like a minute or two. It's right from Dr. Steve Turley, who was covering it. Let me just play it real quick.
Yeah, just talked about it at the beginning of the show.
So here we go. At least now it's going mainstream for more conservatives or not just Americans learning about this. It's not just an Arizona thing. So here we go.
It is official. An Arizona judge has ruled that the state's current mail-in ballot signature verification process is indeed unlawful. And here's the best part. It did indeed violate the law in both the 2020 and the 2022 elections. Arizona Judge John Napper dismissed an argument made by the Democrat Secretary of State Adrian Fontes that it was perfectly acceptable for election officials to compare the signature that's on a mail-in ballot with documents other than the voter's actual voter registration record. I mean, you see, this is how these slimy, corrupt Democrat officials have been getting away with clear violations of signature matching protocol. They've been getting away with it, of course, with the help of a bunch of spineless judges. But what's been happening is that Carrie Lake's legal team presents clear and unambiguous evidence that the signatures on the mail-in ballots over and over again do not match the signature on the actual voter registration records. And then Katie Hobbs' team comes and says, it doesn't have to, because they match signatures on these other records that we have. That's what we determined. So there's nothing to see here. And unfortunately, the previous judge in this, Judge Thompson, he actually bought into that nonsense. He ruled that while the signature verification to match the mail-in ballot signature with the voter registration signature on file was not necessarily followed. There was, nevertheless, a procedure that was followed, namely matching it to these nebulous other documents. And so he said, well, that's good enough. Well, this new judge, God bless him, Judge Napper, just blew that ruling out of the water. He stated absolutely that Arizona state law is, quote, clear and unambiguous that election officials must compare the signatures on the envelopes with a voter's actual registration record. No freaking shit, Sherlock. You don't need a judge to come to that conclusion. Remember, this is what the Democrats always do. They always use the law to hide, to cover up. The law's supposed to be clear and unambiguous, right? It's simple. It's if you match the signature on the mail-in ballot with the signatures you got on file. Simple. Democrats come and say, oh,
there we go. So anyway, you get the point. And, yeah, so it just dropped right now. So more people will be hearing about it.
I don't know
so
how long have I been else. Screaming this. Hello? Hello?
I can't count.
Hello? You know, and that, but now it's different, you know, because somebody, this is what happened. When Kerry Lake took this to court, finally I'm going, somebody freaking did, because I did. You know, I got all the freaking, and then what? You know, like, yeah, we don't care. So this is confirmation of this. I'm hoping that they will continue, that it will fix it. You know, there's going to be a fix in here somewhere. And because we have definitely, you know, brought this on. I you know, this was clear to a good example. In the 94 election cycle, when they started doing, Arizona was the first mail-in. This was the first. They did it the first. First, I can go all details about it, but it was got outed to me by my counterpart, the executive director of the Maricopa County Libertarian Party, I mean, for the Republican Party. He and I had been touring high schools, you know, teaching, you know, during election year, doing political, whatever. And it was me, him, and the Democrat. And Democrat, man, he was proud socialist, man. Wow. But he understood my points, and he goes, Ernie, he called me, he goes, I'm resigning, I'm done. And he goes, but before I go, I want you to see something. He called me, he had me go down to the Republican Party headquarters downtown Phoenix, and I saw the machines that they were doing to do this kind of early ballot fraud. It started with the Republicans in the 94 election cycle, and it was the Democrats. They're all the same. You think they're different. They're not. It's the same people at the top of the pyramid, uses both sides to do whatever the heck it is they want. And that's why the Arizona legislature will never fix this. And even if they did, they got Hobbs up there. So this is, they're not going to fix it. They have court orders they're going to ignore. They did it before. We filed lawsuits on all kinds. It doesn't matter. And the only reason we did it, make them make you, make them say it. Well, they said it. First time I went on radio back in 91, early on, I was on KFYI, the evening show. They wouldn't have me on to break news on all this stuff. They had to do a howdy neighbor talk about what's in the news. So the radio station got a editorial page editor of the Mesa Tribune to publish a guest article by me so that they could use that as a justification for me going on KFYI to talk about it. That's how bad it was. That was my first experience with media, you know, with how this works. And I'm going, what the crap? You don't break news on radio? What the hell good are you guys for? You know? So anyway, enough information about that, which is all this. I can talk about this crap forever and always. And what does it tell you? It took decades for people to finally get so bad that they go, wow, everything Ernie's been saying is true. Man, this sucks. Yeah, you think? You know, what difference does it make? It doesn't. You can't fix something that's already fixed. It's fixed the way they want it. So you got to go another way. And it's general public opinion and a bunch of other stuff that supports. And if it's going to be vote harder, don't waste my freaking time.
Let's end on our normal argument that I think we agree, but maybe we don't. I don't know. It's not about voting harder.
If the issue is you can't fix something, and you can fix something, but you can't fix whatever unless you first know it's broken. And people are realizing things are broken. I know it's frustrating for all of us. We're sitting there at the end going, what the hell took you people this long? And maybe we wouldn't be in this mess if you people stopped, you know, laughing at those of us like us, you know, maybe got involved in understanding why third-party views don't get anywhere, learning about economics works, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't. We're in this mess. We all have to deal with it. Our people are at least trying to be protected by it, hence, you know, the solution component of our show and your other shows. But to me, that's the win. I see this as not as frustrating as you do. You can't fix, you know, what's unfixable, and why bother voting and vote harder and just undermine it. And whether it's through voting or not, you have to know there's a problem, and normies are figuring this out. And I'm happy every day watching them.
All right. Peace, guys. Thanks, Frank. It was, you know, it was whatever it was.
And remember, Obama might be bisexual. All right. Have yourself a good week.
The Matrix is a system, Neil. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again. Freeze it.
What are they?
Sentient programs. Anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone and they are no one. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
Their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.